Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each one of you here this morning on this mild winter morning. It is indeed, again, a day that God has given us. It is through his grace and his mercy that we see a new day and we rejoice. Whether you are at home here or you're a guest, my prayer is that you would feel at home, and that you would be blessed as we worship together this morning. And as we are approaching the season of Christmas, it is the season that we refer to as Advent, the time before, or the awaiting, looking forward to Jesus coming. And now Jesus has already come as a human child many years ago, but we are now also in the time of awaiting or hoping for his return as he has promised. Advent is a time when we prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And the word Advent also means to come. And as we are waiting for the Christmas, which is, or Christmas Day, which is now only days away, today we want to look at the topic of hope. Now, I know that it is, if you follow the Advent calendar, today would be the theme would be joy. But I looked in my records and I saw that I had been here on the third Advent last year and spoke about joy, and seeing as how we didn't have any the topics of the other Advent the last 2 weeks, I thought about today we would talk about hope. And we'll be looking at a number of different scriptures throughout the message, but the theme verse being Matthew 1, verses 22 to 23, where it says, "Behold," 22 and 23. "Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which being interpreted is God with us." So before we get into the message, I would invite you to pray with me, and then we will open in a couple of songs. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning, and we thank you for this new day that you have given to us. Lord, we see again that your mercy is new each day, as the rite of Ecclesiastes says, your mercy is renewed each day. And this morning we thank you that you have allowed us to come here to gather together in your house, where we all together as your children look forward to being uplifted and encouraged. As we are in the season of Advent, where we are awaiting, Lord Jesus, your return, for all those who have accepted you as Lord and Savior, and we have that hope of you coming back and taking us to be with you into all eternity. Lord, this morning we also pray for those that would have had desire to be here but could not. We pray your blessing and your arm of comfort upon them. And for anyone that is watching this service outside of these walls, we also pray that your spirit would be there and your blessing would rest on those individuals. Lord, again, we just ask that you would guide our thoughts and that you would be in our midst by your Spirit as we worship together this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
In the red hymnal, page 77, Blessed Christmas Time. Page 77.
About hope, Our world is in desperate need of hope. There are so many today that live without hope or have given up on hope. But Christ came at Christmas to bring hope to a dark world. And that's what we want to look at in our scriptures this morning. We want to look at a couple of aspects of hope this morning as it relates to Christ and to Christmas. That hope in Christ will get us through while we're waiting. That hope in Christ will help us to go the distance or to stay the course in life. And also that hope in Christ will never disappoint. There's another reference, another scripture reference that talks about hope, and it is in Proverbs 13, verse 12. And in Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Most of Proverbs is a cause and effect type of writing. And this verse also the same way, when it says hope deferred, or meaning if you have a hope and it takes its time, it is deferred into the future, it makes the heart sick, or it can make us discouraged as we hope and that hope does not materialize. But then the flip side is, but when the desire cometh, or when that hope materializes or becomes reality, it is a tree of life. And I believe we probably all agree that nobody likes to wait, right? We don't like to wait. But that's what hope is and does, is it carries us through that time of waiting. And when we trust in Christ, our hopes will get us through the waiting. Just as the Advent refers to a time of awaiting. It's a time when we remember the long period of waiting that preceded the first coming of Jesus Christ. And it is also a time when we reflect on our own season of waiting for the second coming of Christ. We know that the first period of waiting stretched all the way back from Genesis to Matthew. All the way from Adam and Eve to Joseph and Mary. From the Garden of Eden to the manger in Bethlehem. The first signal of hope during that long period of waiting came shortly after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, where God made a promise, or God said to Adam in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden mayest thou freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And as I'm sure most of us know, when we read the rest of the account, that Adam and Eve both disobeyed this command from God, bringing death not only upon themselves, but upon the entire human race that was to come after them, and that includes us. And when God appeared in the garden pronouncing judgment on the serpent, the woman, and the man, everything seemed bleak and dark, except for a glimmer of hope that was tucked away in God's judgment upon the serpent. Where God told the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The serpent and his offspring represent Satan and all those who follow in Satan's path. And the woman and her offspring represent Eve and all those who love and follow God. And indeed, there has been enmity between Satan and those who follow God ever since the garden. And yet, even in this word of judgment, there was a beacon of hope for the people of God. Because even though the woman's offspring at first seems to represent many descendants of Eve, verse 15 of Genesis 3 focuses on the one specific individual descendant from Eve who will come. Who will come and will triumph over Satan and the evil that he has brought upon all mankind. And the picture here is that Satan will bruise his heel, but that this special individual that was to come from the offspring of Eve would bruise Satan's head, bringing an end to Satan's rule of misery over all of humanity. And these signs of hope in the form of prophecies continued throughout the Old Testament period. Further in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 to 3, God called Abraham and he promised him, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And God fulfilled this promise by bringing the nation of Israel out of Abraham. And through the nation of Israel, God continued to give promises about this special individual who would bring blessing to all the people on this earth. And through the many years of waiting, the prophecies became more and more specific, focusing on the Messiah that was to come, who would come as a prophet, a priest, and a king to rescue his people. And around the year about 700 BC, 700 years before Christ's coming, the prophet Isaiah, he told the king of Judah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. This was one of the clearest prophecies that the promised offspring of Eve would come and deliver his people. But there were still centuries of waiting to come. But these prophecies and others like them continue to give the people hope. Hope that this Messiah was coming. But as I said, none of us like to wait, right? So if we think in the aspect of this coming of many hundreds of years, centuries, millennia, and it seemed they probably thought, well, God has forgotten us, or has God not kept his promise? But we also know that our timeline and God's timeline rarely line up. God's timing is perfect, and it is different very often than our timing or our what we would perceive to be the correct timing. And these times during the prophecy, it was a dark and it was a difficult time for the people of Israel. And yet their hope in the Messiah, the Christ that had been promised to come, helped them to remain focused on the waiting, or to patiently wait for the coming. And I believe that's still the same for us today. We all go through periods of waiting in our lives, and we need hope to get through those times of waiting. Waiting is never easy. It's not something we enjoy. At least, I think most of us don't. And we need hope to get us through that time. But we have hope in Christ. Christ gives us hope. And if we trust in him, then we can patiently wait. Whether we are waiting on God's direction in an answer to prayer, or a response maybe from someone we love, whatever it is that we are waiting for, there is hope in Christ. And that hope in Christ will get us through the period of waiting. Before we go on in our message this morning, we want to take some bit of time to go to God in prayer, where we have an opportunity to personally take whatever is on our heart to him. So at this time, for those that are physically able, I would invite you to kneel with me in a time of silent prayer. Let's pray. May the Lord hear prayers and be gracious unto us.
In the red hymnal again, page 78. Hail, heavenly night with thy glory. Page 78, for those who are able, we stand and sing.
Oh,
So we already looked at how hope in Christ can get us through the time of waiting. And the next we want to look at the time, or the hope in Christ also helps us to go the distance or to stay the course. In one part of the Christmas story, which generally we'll probably hear about on the 6th of January, is where the Magi came to visit Jesus. These Magi who traveled to see Jesus sometime after he was born. Magi are pagan magicians or astrologers, and they were considered wise men who studied the stars and interpreted dreams. And if we look to where this term came from, or where we first see them, is in Exodus chapters 7 to 9, we already see of Magi with Moses in Egypt, and then again in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, where he called these magicians to interpret his dreams. And we are not told in the Christmas story of how many Magi actually visited Jesus. Scripture only records the three gifts that they presented. And we read about them in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." So these wise men or magi are significant for a number of reasons. First of all, they are fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, which spoke about nations and kings coming to Zion to worship the Lord. Isaiah writes about this in chapter 60, verse 3. He says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising," referring to the appearance of the Messiah. And the gifts that they brought for Christ were gifts that were fit for a king, befitting the birth of Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And their coming was also a foreshadow of what was another prophecy, that this good news would be brought to all nations. This gift was not only for the nation of Israel, but would be for all nations in all the world. And Jesus himself commanded that this should take place. In Matthew 28:19, before he returned back to the Heavenly Father, after his journey here on this earth was completed, and he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So this was good news, was to be brought to all nations. But getting back to the Magi that went this distance to see Christ, Matthew tells us that they came from the east. So they were likely from Babylon or Persia, possibly. Either way, they had to travel a great distance. And it was over difficult and dangerous terrain that they needed to pass through in order to come and see Christ. So then we may ask, what would prompt them to make this journey? Why would they go? The answer again would be hope. And according to Matthew 2, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come, and are come to worship him." So we may wonder, how would they connect the star with the birth of the Messiah? Now, if we go back to what these wise men or magi were, is they studied, they were astrologers or studied stars. So they were interested in what happened in the heavenly realm and in prophecies. And of course, they would have had access to these Old Testament scriptures because of the Jews that had been exiled into all these surrounding lands a time before. And perhaps they focused on the prophecy in Numbers 24, verse 17, which says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." But regardless of how they knew, the star signaled to them this was something special, this was something new. And they interpreted it as the Messiah or the Christ that had been foretold had been born. And it was this hope in Christ that helped them to go the distance to worship the newborn King of Israel. If we can imagine that these people spent probably in the neighborhood of 2 years of finding this Messiah that they believed had been born because of the star that they saw. It was the hope that kept them going for this period of time to go and worship the Messiah. And so too again for us, hope helps us to go the distance or to remain the course, to stay the course. You know, all of us go through trials in life, some greater than others. And at times we get discouraged. And that's when it is important to remember that God is with you. That God will help you. That God has a purpose for you in your trials or in your troubles. But most of all, it's remember, if you are a child of God, that eternal glory awaits for you in heaven. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So Paul says, don't faint. Though our outward man perish, our bodies can grow weak, they grow old, they get sick. He says this is only for a moment. It is only for a moment, he says, for a light affliction. But look at the things that are not seen. Rather, look at the things of the future, of the Spirit, of God's promise. So how did Paul keep going when life got tough? He had hope for the future. And hope in Christ helped him go the distance, and it will help you go the distance. So then another point is that hope in Christ will not disappoint. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he says, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." You know, the Christmas story in its entirety is full of shining examples of people who put their hope in Christ and were not disappointed. We already touched on the Magi who traveled this great distance to see Christ. Now imagine if they went all that distance and Jesus wasn't even there. That would have been beyond disappointing. But they were not disappointed. They found the Christ child as had been prophesied. And there are other examples as well. Remember the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 that the virgin should give birth to a son? And we know that that prophecy was fulfilled when the Virgin Mary gave birth to Christ that first Christmas Eve. As we read in the scripture at the beginning in Matthew 1, verse 22 to 23, "And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So if we think about Mary, Mary was told by the angel that she would give birth to the Savior. And we know that every pregnancy is a time of waiting and expectation and hope. And in this respect, Mary would have been no different than any other mother to be that waits for a child to be born. We also read in Luke chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." All of Mary's hopes for that baby, when the baby was born and she held that newborn infant in her arms and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, Mary's hope in Christ was not disappointed. And then there is the story of Simeon, a man from Jerusalem who is waiting for the Messiah to come. We read in Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ." So Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the manifestation of this promise. And he had hope, and he trusted that God would follow through. He had hope, and he continued in that hope that he would see the Christ. "And it came to pass by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up in his arms and blessed God. and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. See, here again, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That had also been revealed to Simeon, that this Savior, which would come through the nation of Israel, says, to the glory of the people of Israel, but it would not be just for the nation of Israel, but it would be for all people. So God had told Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. And at this precise moment that Joseph and Mary were bringing Jesus into the temple, the Spirit moved Simeon to go into the temple also. And Simeon put his hope in Christ, or had put his hope in seeing the Christ, and he was not disappointed. Another example of the prophetess Anna, which we read about in verse 36 to 38, also in Luke chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Azar. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here another individual that it had been revealed to that she would see the fulfillment of the prophecy of a coming Messiah. And we can, if we read between the lines here, or kind of put things together, this Anna probably lost her husband when she was still young, because she said she'd referred to there that she had lived with an husband for 7 years. And then 84 years as a widow, which is 44 years. But she had put all her hope in God, and in her great age, hope was not disappointed. Again, that hope she had had was for a long period of time. But in the end, she was not disappointed. She also saw Christ in the temple. Then also today we remember that the Advent season is not just about those who waited for Christ's first coming. It is also about us who wait for Christ's second coming. When Christ returns, he will banish evil. He will make all things right. He will make all things new. He will bring redemption and he will bring restoration when we see Christ face to face. And our hopes will be fulfilled. So we read in Romans 8:23-25. Romans 8:23-25. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we have not, But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, if we have something before us or we have it in our hand, we don't hope for it, right? It's here, it's in our present surroundings, our present world, and we don't hope for it. But hope is what we look forward to that is coming in the future. And Paul says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. When you put your hope in Christ, you will not be disappointed. Hope may fail if we don't put it in the right avenue or in the right direction. But if our hope is in Christ, then we will never be disappointed. Paul also in Romans 10, verse 11, tells us, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Whoever puts his or her trust in Christ will not be ashamed. Or we could substitute that word with will not be disappointed. If you put your trust in other things, they very well may disappoint you. In fact, they probably will disappoint you. If we put our trust in people or possessions or in future plans that we may have made, these all can disappoint, but not Christ. Jesus will never disappoint you. Hope in Christ will always come to fruition. If we follow in his will, if we are in Christ's will, then our hope and trust in him will never disappoint. And the Christmas season is a wonderful season for so many reasons. But one very important reason is the hope that Christ brings to a lost world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So we find in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That means he came to save you and me. Jesus was born into this world at a time that we now call Christmas, so that he could grow into a man, and then to die on the cross for your sins and mine. Then he arose on the third day to defeat death, and then he returned back to his heavenly kingdom, where he is preparing a place for all those who love him and put their trust in him. So let me say, if you are discouraged this morning, if you are tired of waiting, if you feel like giving up, if you face too many disappointments in this life, then let me encourage you, look to Jesus and the hope that you will find in him will not disappoint. Hope in Jesus Christ will get you through the time of waiting. Hope in Jesus helps you to go the distance, to stay the course, however long and far that may be. Jesus Christ will never disappoint. If we put our hope in him. Just want to read for closing Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. Romans chapter 15. For For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of that circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Revelations 22, verses 21 to 22, Revelations 22, verses 21 and 22, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you at the close of this Advent service. And Lord, as we have looked in your word and the promises that you give to us through your word, that we can have hope. Lord, I just pray that it would be impressed upon our hearts that we are not a hopeless people. Though we may look around us in a world that is dark and dreary, and we may wring our hands and say, where is this all going and what's going to happen? Lord, we know that we have hope in you. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that you came to this earth in the season that we are now celebrating to become one of us, to walk the paths that we walk, and that ultimately you took upon yourself our sins and our failures, and you took them to the cross, and you paid the debt that we could impossibly pay. That you conquered sin, but then you also conquered death, that you rose again on the third day. And then you again made us a promise that you would go back and you would prepare a place for us, for all those that trust in you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this. And I pray, Lord, that anyone that is here that or is seeing this message would accept, would have or would accept that gift that you offer to us. That greatest gift that we can have. At Christmas, we celebrate with gifts, but Lord, the greatest gift we can ever have is the gift of salvation. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that awesome gift. And Lord, as we leave here today, and as we continue to celebrate the season of Christmas, may this be in the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, that we celebrate you and that we look to you, and that our and with a full assurance, knowing that our hope and our trust in you will help us to go the distance, and that we know that you do not disappoint. Again, Lord, thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, I want to give you an opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. So whatever you have a need to pray for, I invite you to kneel with me in a time of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Amen.
Your blue hymnal,
Number 91. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Number 91.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. And like we heard in the message, we have hope. Hope that Christ will return again. Hope that we will see him face to face. That's a wonderful hope that no one can take away on us if we've decided to follow Christ. Thank the Lord for that.
Thank you, Robert. And we know that this time of year, things can get busy with a lot of activities, and a lot of them, or most of them, are probably good activities. But let's also remember to not get so caught up in the busyness of the season that we forget of what we're actually celebrating. So I want to leave you with a benediction. For this morning, let's bow. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. I may go in peace with the Lord.